and he was trying to get home.
Shh, please. This is Jean McMillan interviewing Judith Harvey and her brother Vern Harvey at Cindy Smith's house, Lakeview Avenue. The date is September 14th, 2012. And I'm going to start with you, Judith.
Okay.
May I have your full name?
Judith H. Brown is my name at this point.
Where were you born?
Readfield, Maine.
Your birth date?
April 5th, 1934.
Your parents' names?
James W. Harvey, Jr.? I don't remember.
That
was not a third or second, whatever. James W. Harvey, let's settle on that. And Laura Starr Allen Harvey.
Do you have siblings?
I have many.
There used to be a bunch of them.
How many brothers and how many sisters?
I had four brothers and four sisters.
What's your educational background?
What was it called? Salisbury Central School, Grammar School, Housatonic Valley Regional High School, Mount Ida Junior College, and numerous other colleges, classes, so forth.
Okay. Now I'm going to turn to your brother and ask him the same questions,
and they
better sort of agree. And you, sir, your full name?
My full name is Vern Anthony Harvey.
And your birthplace?
Was Sharon, Connecticut.
Your birth date?
Was September 28, 1938.
And your parents' names?
Parents' names were James Willard Harvey and Laura Starr Allen Harvey.
Was the Starr with two R's?
Two R's.
Okay.
Family name.
Do you have siblings?
I got the same one she's got, except for me.
Three
brothers and five sisters.
And your educational background?
I, too, was educated at Salisbury Central School, then Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And then I went to General Electric, worked for them, and became a toolmaker apprentice, and eventually a tool and die maker.
That's a fascinating occupation. My father was the same.
Oh, great.
All right. Where did you grow up? Both of you now.
Here.
In Lakeville, Connecticut.
Specifically, what house?
It's the house on the corner of Main Street and Walton Street, on the northern side of Walton. And it's, and when we lived in it, it was a 13-room house.
Currently Peter God's house.
Yeah. You're going to have to speak up, Cindy.
Currently Peter God's house.
Okay. Do you remember Heather Hoskins, who lived in the day house?
Yes. Okay. Yes, she's my buddy.
Ah, okay. All right, because I interviewed her.
She's good.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't seen Heather since, well, she went to a different school. After grammar school, we went different ways, yeah.
All right, I want to do the Lila Nash stories. So tell me about Lila Nash and her house.
I don't remember. He will.
Well, it isn't so much about her house, but during the Second World War, my brother and I used to play that we were soldiers, and we would go down to the electric company, and Lila would give us various decorations that she cut out of magazines, and we would kind of glue them onto our clothes for temporary decorations and Purple Hearts and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun, but, you know, at that time we didn't realize the seriousness of the situation.
You were kids. You weren't supposed to.
We had a brother doing it, so.
Yeah, well.
Two brothers
in the Army.
In
World War II.
What part of the service were they in?
Air Force, I think.
They were both in the Army Air Force.
Yeah.
The older brother, Bill, was actually a tail gunner in a B-25 and was shot down over Italy.
Ooh.
And did not survive that.
In the Brenner Pass, yeah.
In the Brenner Pass.
In prison camp.
Yeah, it was about a month before the end of the war.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah.
That is so hard.
Yeah, it was hard then. Jimmy was in the military police and stayed on after the war over in, some Air Force port in Germany.
Brenner? No, the Brenner Pass is where Bill was shot down.
I believe it was Baden-Baden.
Where did Lila Nash live on Bostwick Street?
I don't remember. He remembers.
She lived across from my grandparents, Barnett, over on Bostwick Street, and I don't know, probably Right at the top of the hill, Bostic Street.
Okay.
Right across from my grandparents' garage, she lived.
All right. Number 63?
I have no idea what
okay.
number it is.
Okay.
But that's where she used to live, and it was a wonderful place. She always entertained kids on her front porch or whatever, and I'll never forget as a kid. Several of us, my sister and I specifically, would be riding our bikes around the block, and Lila had a dog named Radford, who we all called Ratty.
Radford!
And so we used to come around the block, so we came down the hill from her house to ours, and we used to put our feet up on the handlebars because the dog ran after our feet on the bicycle. So we always had to come down the hill, not up the hill. And remember that for a long time, and I think probably Judy and Vern remember some of that, too, riding bikes around.
Well, I remember riding bikes around and then putting your feet up on the handlebars, but that was just a whiz down the hills.
Oh. Never mind the dog.
Never mind, because I'm not recalling Lila and the dog particularly, because maybe I just wasn't around there all that much. I do remember eating tomatoes. Little tiny tomatoes out of your garden.
Cherry tomatoes.
Right. Well, we would go out there and play hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I'd ever had fresh tomatoes off the vine. I was just remembering that the other day. Yeah, they were so good. I'd never had fresh tomatoes off the vine.
My father had a victory garden down,
below your house.
Yeah. Well, beside the house he had a garden, but he had a victory garden way down by the brook. There still is down there fresh spring water, and a lot of people had victory gardens during the war down right. there, and we used to go down there.
They had what kind of a garden?
Victory. A victory garden.
Okay.
Yeah, we had them too. Our father put a goat next to Brother Bob's part of the victory garden, and the goat ate it.
ate it all.
I love my brother. So much.
No, I can remember a bluebird building a nest in one of the old fence posts down there. It had a rotten fence post, and we had a bluebird one year build a nest in it, and that was a lot of fun. We had all kinds of vegetables that we grew down there, and then I guess Dad must have put them in his old truck and dragged them up home so Mom could can them.
That figures.
During the Second World War, people were encouraged to have these, they called them victory gardens, so that you could grow your own food. Wouldn't have to depend upon the distribution services in the country, which could and were interrupted. And so we all did a lot. I can remember canning corn and tomatoes and green beans.
Do you remember picking the milkweed pods?
No, don't remember.
We used to pick milkweed pods for the Life Fests. They made Kapok out of them.
Oh, that's right, too.
Yeah, I can remember taking my pillowcase out.
Yeah, you guys went
Mom didn't enjoy it too much.
You and Bob, I remember, went and picked them.
Yeah, we went and we must have picked more than anybody else in school, I think.
That was an example of using natural resources.
Yeah,
to help the
there
war
were weeds.
Effort.
There were weeds we were using.
Yep.
Did you do any airplane spotting?
Yes, I did. Right up here in my backyard. I did it with Jeanette Oxelby. And a couple of nights we had I don't know what you call it, a thing that just said you'd sit up on or sit down and watch the planes go through.
A tower?
A tower. Thank you. The brain doesn't work so well sometimes. a tower. And we did it was one night a week. I'd go up and just sit there with her and watch the planes go over. I got so I could recognize them and name them as they flew over, but can't do it today.
Our father was a warden.
Yeah,
he went around an air raid warden. He would walk around the town and drive around, make sure nobody could see any lights coming out of anybody's house. We all had these shades that we would pull down at nighttime so that we could turn lights on in our houses, and he would make people tape them shut so that they couldn't see the lights out of them.
Did he have a specific area that he covered?
Probably around our house.
Probably, I would guess within a couple of blocks of that.
Because he would go out with his flashlight and his helmet, and his chest, he wore a vest, I think it was a flak vest of some sort, and he would go out and be gone for a couple of hours and then come back home.
Anything else about World War II? Oh, rationing?
Yes, it was rationing. Yes. We had ration books.
Mm-hmm. Standing in line rationing. To get my own quarter pound of butter.
Same here. Same here.
Was it butter or was it oleo?
Was real butter.
Oh, real butter.
Real butter. We got a quarter of a pound. We got a little stamp. Each
person
in the family could get a quarter.
Yeah, I had to go pick it up personally.
Right. And then they rationed shoes. I can remember Mother had some ration books, and we had to put out so many stamps to buy a pair of shoes. And lots of some other foods. I don't think the vegetables and stuff were rationed, but
probably
milk
not.
Milk was rationed. Butter was rationed.
Sugar was rationed. I think beef was rationed too.
Yes, it was. There were some meats that were rationed.
That were rationed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ration books for clothing, but just for
food. We had them for shoes because I can remember sitting in the old shoe store.
Danny's.
And Mother tearing out the little stamps. And we also saved, another thing was that all the cans, broken glass, anything, was saved, and we put it in different bins down in the cellar.
Recycling
very early because they used the tin and the lead. They separated it out of the cans. Could you imagine they used lead in cans then? And now they use some.
None of us got lead poisoning back then, like they do today.
Well, they get this other stuff going on.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of rationing going on, and also gasoline. That was the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you couldn't buy new cars, as I recall. The cars had to have, and you could only buy one car at a particular time.
They were making bombers.
Vehicles, not cars.
Did you have to have the headlights half painted black?
Yes. Yeah.
And was that something that your dad had to check?
No, he was checking houses.
He just checked houses.
Looked for light leaks.
But I do remember seeing all the cars had the top part painted black.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I remember the shades. My father made little cardboard stickers that we had to pull over the shades.
Right.
Rather than tape it down, we put these little stickers on it
to
keep them closed so we have our lights on.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So. Anything else on World War II?
When
the war ended in 45, I was but 7.
Yeah.
And
I hadn't been born
11.
Yet.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
I was around 12, 11, 12, somewhere around. Yeah.
How about... No, I was just going to tell them to. We used to collect the bacon fat, any kind of fat,
and turn it in
at the grocery store.
Yeah, Mother used to save the bacon fat. Yeah, any kind of fat and turn it in. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was
That's something to do with the manufacture of bombs. Mm-hmm. They used the fat for. I don't remember what it was.
Lubrication.
Well, if you touch a match to it, it burns.
Yeah.
Lubrication.
But that was a very, very serious war.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was a total involvement with the country.
Total involvement with the country.
And it isn't like the war today where we sit here and know nothing about it. We don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't feel it.
But we may. That's the horrible thing of this, the way we fight wars now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when it's coming our way.
No, we don't.
I understand the only reason why we've never been really attacked by other countries is because we're an armed society. So people are trying to take away our arms, they're getting us ready to be attacked.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize, and we're finding out today, us that were children then, is they kept, from the general populace, they kept the fact that they were sinking ships by the bucket loads right off the East Coast.
Right.
And they were attacking, there were Japanese submarines patrolling our West Coast.
Yeah, they were shelling the West Coast.
They were shelling the West Coast.
Yeah, and people, Fort Ross and further up. Yeah.
Okay, let's come back to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Tell me what you can remember. No, this is fine. Tell me what you can remember about your neighbors or your playmates. Oh, she's got a grin. She's got a good story.
There was a family that lived down the street from us, the Garnes family. And there was Mom and Dad. And Johnny was the only kid that I remember, but I think he had a little sister, I think.
I just remember John too.
He taught me how to swear.
Oh, good! And it wasn't even on the school bus.
No, I would go play with him, and I remember coming home one day. And I don't know how old we were playing because I don't remember
Somewhere around there. We were allowed to be alone outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We were six or seven.
Go anywhere
until dark.
When we didn't come home by dark. Parents got very worried, like I really scared my mother one time.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught me how to swear. I came home one day and I said, Mother's cooking at the stove, and I said, what does yada 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 mean? And boy, I tell you, I had a response. I didn't expect. But that was a word that I was not supposed to use, and it was a bad word, and This had to have been around 4 or 5, because later on, it was sometime later, it was days later, what it was. Mother used to have this ladies' group that would come to the house. I don't know whether your mother's
club.
Yeah, and they would meet in our house, and they'd play bridge or whatever they would do and have their meeting. Well, there was a bay window, I think it's still there, I'm not sure, on the house.
Yeah.
And we had grass, a little grassy knoll that went out to the rest of the yard, and I was laying on the grassy knoll with my knees up, you know, like crossed up there, and my head back, just looking at this absolutely beautiful sky, using every swear word Johnny had ever taught me, and screaming it at the sky. And Mother comes out, and she says, no, you're not supposed to be using those words. And she says, don't use them anymore. And so she went back in the house, and of course, you know, I immediately forgot the instruction.
Of course.
I started doing it again, and my mother comes out of that house like a shot, and she grabs me by one arm and yanks me up, go back to your room, young lady. One of the few things I really, truly remember from when we were little kids.
Good.
That and...
it's very timely.
And around Thanksgiving, we have had snow. Yeah, and we used to have snow by Thanksgiving.
We always had snow at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, by, we were kids. One Thanksgiving when I was real small, we were waiting for dinner to be made, and my mother always made this huge spread that was absolutely delicious, and my older sister and I think my older brother were there. And that was Angie and Billy. And Barbara and I, that's my next oldest sister, who now lives in North Carolina, she had spotted a dead cat lying on a rock down there.
Oh.
So she said, let's go and take a look. So I think my mother put me in my snowshoes and all those kind of, because we said we were going to go out and play.
Yeah.
So we went down into the brook. But you said it's Burden Brook is the name
of it? Well, the name now is Burden. The original name was Burden.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
B-U-R-D-E-N.
Okay.
And it's, they now call it Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N.
Burton, T-O-N.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we went down there and with our snow boots and everything on and sloshed out there and got up to where the cat was, and the water was deeper than our boots. And we got stuck down there, and Barbara doesn't remember this, by the way. I've talked to her about it. She absolutely doesn't remember it. It's probably because she was the instigator.
That's convenient.
We were screaming down there, and Angie and Billy, I think it was, came out and rescued us, took us in the house, got us all cleaned up and in pajamas and into bed for a little while, and then we went downstairs and had Thanksgiving dinner. But that was one of the most horrible moments of, and that's another one of those vignettes that you remember.
Yes.
When you were little, you'll never forget it.
It's going to be in the book.
Well, I can remember. I can remember kids, probably seven, eight, nine. We used to go down the brook, Burton Brook, way down. Right. You could walk the brook from here, from 44, all the way down to the sewer plant.
Right.
Which was down and back there. Now it's all grown over, you can't even hardly see the brook. But we used to go down there, and there was a big area of pine trees that was all just pine needles, no growth down there. Mm-hmm. And we used to get these grape vines, and we climbed up a tree and hung it, tied it to the tree, top of the tree, and we used to swing across the brook. And our parents used to say, Clayton and Marion were with us, and they used to say, don't get your feet wet. And, of course, all of us were able to get across except Clayton. He couldn't get across, so he always came home with his feet wet. Of course, we all came home with feet wet, but that's...
Yeah, Marion came home with wet feet.
Yes, we all came home, but Clayton ended up right in the middle of it. It wasn't very deep, maybe up to your knees, the water.
It still was wet.
But it still was wet, but we used to go down there and play that we were camping.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun back then, and we used to walk, the sewer pipes are absolutely mammoth. Huge sewer pipes.
Yeah, Patsy Gibbs and I used to run down and go and walk the sewer pipes.
Yeah, we used to walk the sewer pipes, and then, this isn't very nice, but there was one big place where you could lift the top off, you could see the people's poop floating by.
Yes.
And isn't that fascinating?
Very fascinating.
It was when we were little.
And you don't need to get any memories from me like that, because I have exactly the same one.
Oh. Anything different?
We used to go to, it was nice and grassy down there.
The grass was nice around the sewer.
Patsy
and I used to go down there and just lay in the grass.
Grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Yes.
We overcame the stench somehow.
Yeah, it didn't make it.
We played down there a lot.
Yeah.
Because
the
grass was nice, the ground was nice.
But
just
today,
down there, sneak smokes when I started smoking.
Well, I can remember Clayton going into his father's house. His father used to smoke, and stealing a pack of Campbell cigarettes. and we used to go out behind the garage, which is all pine trees, and smoke out there. And then we had a little place under the garage where we used to hide the cigarettes. But I can remember doing that under a pine tree. The safest place to be, to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
But you weren't thinking of that at the time.
Absolutely not. Yeah. But I can remember the sewer pipes were not covered with grass. They were just a plain, big, black sewer pipe.
Yeah, they were on these cement stanchions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That went right across
but
to
today,
somewhere.
Today you wouldn't even know they were there.
I didn't know they were there.
Well, you wouldn't know it today because it's all grass. It just looks like a big grassy knoll over all the...
They still got the sewer beds down there?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's much different than it was.
Yeah. I mean, they used to have fountains with spray in the water up there, and it was, naturally purifying.
It's all inside now, I guess. Now.
Yeah, and probably more chemicals, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's down where our bicycle trail is. Now, where the train tracks were.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the bicycle
trail. Have they pulled up the tracks? The tracks aren't there anymore?
No tracks.
They're doing that all over New England.
It's just a bicycle trail from here to Salisbury.
Wow.
And it gets kind of muddy in the springtime, but it's there. And a lot of people take it walking. They walk the dogs, ride their bikes. People used to drive their ATMs on it, but that's not allowed anymore.
That's good.
So we used to walk the tracks to go over to the lake.
Right.
The trestle, which was from... went across Farnham Road and 41.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to walk the trestle, and sometimes walking the trestle, we have to look down to make sure there weren't any hobos down there, because that's where they used to live, the hobos underneath.
Under the trestle.
Yep, that's another Second World War story.
Okay.
My mother used to feed the hobos. They would come around and knock at the door, and she would have them do some work around the house, the outside or something. They would sit on the back porch and eat, and then they'd go on their way. There were so many...
Out of work
men who couldn't get into the military for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hobos. They just traveled on the trains and went into the towns and got little jobs.
Yeah.
And people fed them. My mother fed off a bunch of them. Yeah. And then the other Second World War story was, I know we're getting back to this. One Christmas Eve, my sister Angie, who lived elsewhere but was coming over to our house for Christmas Eve, picked up a sailor who was... hitchhiking.
Gee, I hope it wasn't my husband.
I have no idea. He was a young man.
Yeah, well, mine was once.
Yeah, 17 or 18, somewhere around there.
This is 60 years ago.
Yeah, my husband was 94 when he died 6 years ago.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Well, anyway, she invited him in, and I think we fed him. And they did some telephoning and got him a ride to the train station in Canaan so that he could catch a train to wherever he was going.
Wonderful.
And that was a wonderful thing that she, it always makes me tear up when I
Well, sure, because it's a wonderful thing to do. And it was a patriotic thing to do, too.
It was. I think it was towards the end. It was 1944. It was before the war ended, a few months before the winter, before the war ended. Yeah. But I always remember that guy. And when I got married my second time around, I married a sailor who was in a sailor suit.
Yeah, they're pretty unusual, sailors are.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Do you have any memories of sports, like baseball down at the ballpark?
Well, we used to go down there and have pickup games of softball and baseball. I was basically a coward when it came to hardball.
Smart man.
I learned that pitching softball because I caught a couple right in the face when they hit them right back at me and I couldn't get my gloves. Not an athlete. Not a ball player. Mostly, I just...
spectator.
A spectator.
Didn't they have Sunday games down
there? Oh, yeah. They used to have. I'm trying to think now because Tommy Parsons pitched down there. Tommy Parsons pitched down there for the Fire. I can't remember the league. It might have been American Legion League or Fireman's League or something like that. But the Belter boys played down there.
They were good baseball players.
Very Belter was a good name because they could belt them. And I can remember shagging fly balls out behind the screen
when
I was a little kid because they'd hit them and they'd come right up over the screen. And we would shag the fly balls and we'd bring them back in so I could use them because they didn't have big baseball budgets then, I guess. Not a lot about sports. I'm tall, and I was really skinny as a kid, but I couldn't play basketball to save my life.
Didn't you have a problem with your knees?
No, that was when I was much younger. No, I had a problem with coordination.
Yeah. It's called walking and chewing gum at the same time.
Don't feel bad. I can't do it either. Sometimes I have problems walking.
I do have a story about the ballpark.
Oh, good.
My friend Harry Boyles and I, after 1/4 of July, somehow contracted to clean the place up, get all the stuff out of the bleachers and whatnot. You know, people, they'd watch the 4th of July fireworks and leave all kinds of garbage there.
Oh, they had bleachers then?
There were some bleachers.
Okay.
There weren't many. They were where the ball field, where they played ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a dugout and some bleachers.
And the fence.
I haven't been there a long time. I remember there was
a wire fence, too,
yes.
So that the balls wouldn't come back into the
watching. Yeah,
the
but they did.
I know. So that's came up and over.
That's what I was talking about, shagging
yeah.
flies.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry and I contracted to clean the place up. We were going to get like $15 a piece for it. And we may have contracted with Wilbur Hemmerle, I'm not sure, because he was kind of in charge of that for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're cleaning this stuff up, and there's a guy painting the flagpole. And we got this little fire going where we're actually burning the trash, mm-hmm. so that, you know, reduce it. So we get rid of it. And I can't remember which one of us found this thing. Looked like it was wrapped in a paper bag, brown paper, okay,
mm-hmm.
with some strings around it, and it was probably 8 inches long and 6 inches in diameter, and we just kind of tossed it in the fire along with everything else, didn't think too much about it, and we're working around, and it took about 5 minutes for that triple aerial salute to go off. The guy was halfway up the flagpole. You know, he started at the top painting down, thank goodness, because otherwise there would have been ashes all over the bottom of that flag.
Oh, my word.
And I can remember he was on a car, a harness up there, helpless when this thing went off. Blew the fire all over the place.
Ah.
And Harry and I both hit the ground. I mean, it was like we were old infantrymen. Splat, face down. And that's about all I can remember of that story, except we had to finish cleaning up afterwards.
You had more to clean up than you expected.
Scared the tar out of us. Man, that thing, it was one that had not gone off.
Oh.
And it was laying out there near the railroad tracks, I think, where we found it.
How do you spell Mr. Hemmerle's name?
H-E-M-M-E-R-L-Y.
Okay. I remember him.
Yeah, wasn't he a coach?
Yes.
Yes.
He was the first director of... Sports in town.
He was the sports director.
Very central.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Yep.
Wilbur had this great talent. I should call him Mr. Hemmerle, out of respect, because that's what we called him then.
Yeah.
He would stand. He did this for every gym class with boys. I don't know if he did with girls. I think somebody else did. I had the girls' gym classes.
Yeah. It was before Title IX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he would stand at the outside of the circle. On the ball court in front of the basket, and he would turn around away from the basket, so he was back was to the basket, close his eyes, take the basketball, toss it over his head, and make a basket.
Yeah, I think that's all he
almost without
he
fail
do that.
Almost
yeah.
without fail
yeah yeah
that's you know,
yeah he used to have us do races. Yeah, I remember him now. We used to go up the upper field.
His wife
taught
something. Mrs. Hemmerle taught history.
Taught 7th grade.
7th grade, yeah, okay.
Well, look at this. He's got all these wonderful pictures.
Well, I think I have pictures of us sitting on the bleachers
down at the ball field.
I'm looking here.
There was a bandstand. I don't know if that's still there. And I played many
I
a concert with
so
the Lakeville Salisbury Band.
Oh, tell me what you played.
Trombone.
Who were some of the other trombonists in the band?
Well, there was a guy named Mike LeClaire, who was actually from Cornwall.
Well,
there was a kid named Raymond Trudeau,
mm-hmm.
who was actually killed in Vietnam in
72. There's the bandstand.
I can't remember. We found his name on the wall in Washington.
Is this you and Joe?
Ray played. It was a real nice kid.
That's me.
Let's see. Patty Atho played the sousaphone.
Yeah. Jimmy
Du Bois played the drums. Along with somebody else, Jimmy was a fixture in this town.
I knew
for
Jimmy.
186 years.
Yeah.
Bill Meter was our director.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
Yeah. Bill, I love Bill Meter.
He was super.
Yeah. He was.
Over the hill.
I went to see him shortly before he died, his mind went. It was more vascular, they say, than Alzheimer's. But his daughter took us over there to see him. So, was really sorry to see him go, but he was just a marvelous man. He taught so many kids. You know.
He was music director at Salisbury Central School for some of the years that I was teaching there.
Was he?
Yeah, and I did a oral history with Lee Collins on the history of the Salisbury Band as well as the history of the Housatonics. So you are confirming some of the names that Lee had told me about.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember them all. I'm trying to think. There were kids from other towns that Bill roped into playing with Lakeville Salisbury Band.
Oh, sure.
And
we
used to go to firemen's parades all over the area, as far as 100 miles away.
Yep.
I remember going to Port Chester, New York.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting trip because on the way home, the lights went out on the bus, and we went off the road.
Oh, my word.
Into a stone wall. I remember a gal by the name of Paul. Moni, who's still a friend of mine, we keep in touch. She lives in Nebraska. She got knocked out by her clarinet when it fell off the luggage rack. We got out of the bus, and my brother and I and Jimmy Du Bois had harmonicas with us. And we found some paper bags and some sticks, and we started a little fire out behind the bus and stood around playing the harmonicas. And they finally got a second bus to come. I guess a fire truck was going back to Lakeville from the same parade, and they stopped, and they took the word to somewhere, got to a phone, and got us another bus so that we could ride back here to Lakeville, and that was really scary.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, because all of a sudden the lights are gone, and we're going boopty boopty boop, and got stopped by a couple of saplings and a stone wall.
But no one was injured.
Not really. No.
I mean,
just,
yes,
just
I know
Paula
that.
Paula got knocked out with her clarinet. That was about it.
Oh,
we were lucky.
My.
Yeah.
Yes, you were lucky.
Here's pictures of the stands,
of the stands at the ballpark. I'm sorry, Jean.
That's all right.
So we did have the things down
there. Yeah.
This is all part of Hemmerly. Yeah.
Okay.
Wilbur Hemmerly. He had us all doing. I don't know what happened to that picture, but.
Has doing exercises
and stuff.
So he did the girls as well as the boys.
Oh, he did we're all together.
He was our instructor.
Yeah. He was what do you call him? Took care of all the kids in the summertime.
Yeah, he did all of the athletic programs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he did this. This is where he had us dress up as Grecians. We did some kind of a Grecian thing down there.
Ah, yes.
And this is Betty Livesey, who was part of Betty and Jimmy Livesey. Were
yeah,
also
I remember
part
them.
Of our group.
Yeah.
These are what we were dressed as, and these are the bleachers down there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
So,
Girl Scouts? Were you in Girl Scouts?
Oh, yes.
Brownies?
Yep.
Yes.
Both. Yep. Brownies.
Leaders? Who were your leaders? Do you remember?
Polly Minor.
Okay.
Was one, and my mother was part of it, Mary Barnett, and
my mother was a den leader, Star Harvey. She was a den leader.
For Cub Scouts?
For Cub Scouts.
She was my den leader as a Cub Scout.
Oh, you must have had to behave.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember her name that was part of that. But I remember Polly Minor.
How many in your troop?
I have no idea.
I don't know, a whole bunch of us, because it was combined Lakeville and Salisbury.
Yeah.
Some kids we didn't know.
Okay.
Probably maybe 10 or 12 or more, maybe.
Yeah. Did we meet in the Salisbury Library when we were Girl Scouts?
I think we might have. I really don't remember.
I remember meeting up there for several meetings, yeah.
I remember I made the curved bar.
Bar. Me
yeah,
too.
That's the highest
we
could go
did.
At that time.
Me
right.
too. Oh, yes.
And I had, I don't know how many. I used to have my ribbon thing.
Yeah. But with all of the badges.
It's gone now.
Yeah, same here. And I have
so many badges. I have no idea. Yep. I had lots of them. But.
We know we had that hurricane and flood in 56?
55.
Hurricane Hazel.
Right. And I had all my stuff in my parents' basement.
Uh-oh.
All
and
got
you got
destroyed.
Flooded.
And you lost it all, didn't
lost
you?
Lost it all.
Yep, you got flooded down. That was on my 21st birthday.
You told me that.
Flood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it flooded out the whole downtown here.
Yep.
They were working on the road.
That was the year I had my first child, in 1955.
Yeah, they were putting the new road in, and I can remember Bob and I and getting in the Willys Jeepster and driving around down through Lime Rock and stuff. That factory had got washed right out. Mm-hmm. Uncle Vern's place had got flooded, and he was down there trying to dry out his library. He had books laying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty disastrous. Knocked down, wiped out.
My collections, I don't have my collections from high school. I lost all that stuff.
Well, you know, as I recall, and there was a house across the street from us.
Yes.
Right next to the brook.
Pa rescued somebody from
there. Pa and I went over there. We had a Volkswagen. We had the 54 Volkswagen. And I can remember pulling out of the yard to go across the street to help the lady. I can't remember her name. But the engine went underwater and kept running.
Kept running.
And we got over there, and we picked her up, and she said, look in my cellar. And I opened the cellar door, and the water's right up to the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
That was the only time I ever saw Burton Brook get that high. But we did not get that much water in our cellar. Now, your stuff probably got ruined because that cellar was wet anyway.
Yeah.
And I can remember I got stuff that got ruined down there because it was never really dry. But our cellar did not actually flood during that.
Well, I know that it was, my stuff was ruined during that time because when I came up 2 years later, it was after I had Kelly.
Yeah.
Because I came up with Alan and Kelly, and they still had my stuff down there. It was just useless.
Useless,
You know, the pictures were all deteriorated. And
That happened to everything that was down there. Yeah. Pa built Star a little room down there. Remember it was
that?
Like her den?
Yeah,
they built
that.
It with sheetrock and 2x4s, and everything just crumbled.
Yeah.
It was so damp.
Yeah. My grandparents lived across from your house. Tuttle, Dr. Tuttle.
Oh, that's who he was rescuing then, because they weren't they right next to the brook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's
right,
the house
bank
that
is
they...
Where the bank is now.
I recall rescuing only one person.
Yeah, but that was the small house that was right next to the
bank. And it was a woman.
I don't think they were there then.
They weren't there then?
Yeah, I don't think
they
were
either. No, because
how
old were you? I was
at that
only
point
well,
in
was
time,
like,
when Pa got the Volkswagen, that was he bought it new in '54.
Yeah,
well, they,
so
no,
I would have been
there,
16. I was in high school.
20.
You know, I was only about 6 when Aunt Helen got married there, and
is this Helen Martin, the artist?
Yes, yes, that's who it is. And some of her pictures are in there. They were gone from them because my Grandpa Tuttle, doctor, he died just before my twin brothers were born. And they were born in 39.
Okay.
And he died just before that, and I think Nana probably died a couple of years later.
Okay.
It's helpful to have the dates for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they weren't there when you went over. And
somebody else was
Garrity there. Was in that house at one point.
I just can't remember.
I never did
know who was there. I just know she called us up. Is it help?
Yeah.
Dolan Garrity and his wife lived there for a while, but I don't know really who lived in that house after my grandparents left. I was too little when they were gone to really know, to remember too much about it.
Off the record, but I did photocopy
There's
all this
Helen
material
Martin.
So that I have it.
Oh, okay.
So Helen Martin, that was your aunt?
Yes.
My aunt.
Your aunt. Mom's sister.
How many sisters are... siblings did your mother have?
Three sisters. She was the youngest.
Of four,
yep.
Okay. Yep. So there was Helen and Mary.
Mary and Helen and Marion and Clara.
Okay.
Clara being the oldest.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
But they, I just showed this to Judy because she's been here for 10 years, so she hadn't seen that when it came out. No, but
any memories of Lakeville Lake, the Grove?
Grove, come on.
Oh.
We used to spend all summer
there. Oh, we spent all summer there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We spent all
Except
summer
Except when you went to Maine.
I can remember walking over there, over the oiled road.
Right.
In bare feet.
Ooh.
Yes.
I couldn't do it now to save my life.
Oh, we all did in our bare feet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never washed.
And we walked all the way over from you from up here, us from mm-hmm. down there. And we walked over there, and we would spend the whole day there.
Yeah.
And they would have Timmins. It was Timmins.
Yes.
Right. And we had he had a little store there, and we could buy ice cream and sodas and stuff like that. And that's what we lived on until we went back home at night.
but they had the lockers there, too.
Yeah.
Two rows of lockers, and we used to buy one locker for, a quarter?
Something.
Maybe for one locker. We all used to use the one locker, which you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, but we
all did that.
Well, one of the problems with the lockers was the hornet's nest.
Oh, yeah. I remember the bees. The bees were terrible there.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, when you stop and think about what an operation he ran there and what the town turned it into, I mean, day and night.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
It was, he probably made a few bucks off of it.
Do you remember the motor launch that he ran, the Thelma?
No, I do not. Not at
what,
all.
What do we remember?
The motor launch that would go around the lake?
No.
No.
The only thing I remember going around the lake was not too many years ago was the weed thing that went around.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they've got a pontoon boat. But that's... I was telling Mike Beck about the Thelma that was the motor launch that Timmons had. And nobody knew in the family who he named it after because nobody in his family was named Thelma. But the guess was that it was named for Thelma Ham. Mrs. Ham, Jigger Shop?
Yeah.
I had a Miss Ham for a teacher who turned into Mrs. LeMoyne.
Yeah, Fran LeMoyne.
That's who it was.
Right.
The same one.
I also remember the boys' camp.
On the other side.
They drove through.
Good morning, Clayton.
Didn't Hotchkiss School have a boathouse across the lake?
Yes, they did. You could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotchkiss still has the boathouse across the lake. It's still there.
And also the Wake Robin Inn. You can see that up on the hill.
Yep. But you can't see that.
You can't
anymore.
See it now.
Too many trees.
What was the name? What was the name of the inn that was up on the road heading towards Millerton where they used to walk down
the Gateway.
The
Gateway Inn, and they would cross the swinging bridge over to the lake.
Oh, then
where was the Interlocking Inn?
It's on 112.
Okay.
It's always been on 112.
Yeah.
That one.
The name I don't remember.
Yeah.
The
lake. It's across the lakes, next to Hotchkiss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Between the lakes.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to add something, Clayton? Do you remember the swinging bridge?
I sure do.
I sure do.
Okay, any stories about that one?
No, it's scary.
Yeah?
The factory pond was there and a lot bigger when we were kids.
Yeah, they filled part of it. Skating.
Yeah, we used to do that. But I was, I don't know if you've heard any stories about Dr. Barr the dentist, but I used to play with his son, Wally Wallace.
Mm-hmm. And what was the gentleman's name?
Dr. Barr.
B-A-R-R.
Thank you.
He was the dentist. And Wally and I decided one day to take all the soda bottles, because you could get a nickel for the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we took all the soda bottles out of his house without his mother's knowledge, by the way. And decided that we were going to take them over to... trying to remember what the store was we were going to take them to.
It might have been the first.
Whatever it involved, crossing the factory pond on the ice.
Godrich's Market?
It was winter. And,
wouldn't have been Doc Leverty's.
That was next to Dr. Barr.
I'm trying to think, because you know, we're walking across from Doc Barr's across the factory pond towards Allen Street.
It's Allen Street, and it could have been Godrich's Market.
Could have been.
That was down next to the Jigger Shop.
I'm not sure the Jigger Shop was there at that point, but we're crossing here with all these bottles and bags because we're going to get these nickels and we're going to go buy cigarettes or something. We were bad kids, and we're crossing the factory pond and Wally goes through the ice. So, from my Boy Scout training, I learned first thing you do is get on your belly so you spread your weight out. And I crawled it. Forgot about the bottles. Now it's safe Wally's life. So, I'm crawling on the ice, and I got him by the arm before he went under. And I pulled him out, and we very carefully backed up and got back to where the thicker ice was, and we went back to his house. And we took our clothes off and we did our best to get all dried off and everything. And his, I mean, this was in the time of day his mother was somewhere and wasn't coming back for a while, I guess. Anyway, we got dried up. As Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story is shortly before that, John Hickey had been written up in Hero Comics for saving a dog from a pond. And Melton Smith, Smitty, who worked for Pa, had seen this thing, had seen me haul Wally out of the water.
Yeah.
And so Pa sits down at the table a couple nights later. He says, you know, Smitty saw all this and stuff. You didn't tell us about that. I didn't. I hadn't, you know, we were doing bad stuff. So, my father says, do you want to get written up in Hero Comics for that? And I said, no. I said, you know, no reason to do anything about it. You know, it was an accident. And I pulled him out of the water and everything's fine. Because there was no way I could justify why in the heck we were on that ice other than we were two stupid kids on thin ice. You know? That was it. That end of story.
Oh, but it's a good one. Did you do any skiing?
Oh yeah, there was a ski. There was a toe ski run that we had between Lakeville and Salisbury. That was,
it was a small hill.
It was a small hill, and it had a rope toe.
Really?
Yep. And that's what Penny.
That's where Penny got caught with her scarf.
Yeah, our sister got caught, and she was almost killed on this thing.
That was not by the ski jump, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was somewhere between Lakeville and Salisbury.
There's
a hill there.
I don't remember.
And they set up a tow that would pull you, just grab hold of the rope, and it'd take you up to the top of the hill.
Would it be by Chiwala? Because that used to be a ski area.
It could be, I don't recall it.
Okay.
We skied on this hill.
Right. But it was on the other side of the road, as I recall.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Maybe it was up the other side of Salisbury.
I recall it being on that side of the road.
Yeah, that side of the road I remember. But maybe it was between Salisbury and Canaan.
Yeah, it could have been.
Where it was. And they had rigged up, there was a little house where they had the motor and everything, and they had hooked it. It was electrical, I think. Maybe it was motor driven.
It was electrical.
And there was always a fellow there who watched it, and we would go up to the top and then ski. It wasn't a really long ski slope or anything, but it was great for beginners.
Sure.
And I can remember going up and down that, but after Penny got hurt, I don't think I ever went back there.
I can remember that day. I can still remember.
I don't think I was there.
Because it actually strangled her.
Yeah.
She had passed out.
Yeah. She got her scarf tangled in the rope.
Ah.
Because, you know, when you go and grab the rope like this, and probably her scarf went with her hand.
Yes.
And she was holding on, but then when she went to let go, the scarf was still attached. And
I forget
right
who
up.
Pulled her off. I thought it was Wally, but when I talked to her about it, she said no, it wasn't Wally.
Yeah.
But she knew who it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It seems to me they took her down to the hospital or something.
It was bad.
It was really a bad accident there. And I don't recall skiing after that.
I don't
they
remember that at all.
You don't remember that area at all.
You may not have been there.
I probably wasn't.
She may not have gone up there. Well,
yeah.
You weren't, lots of times in the winter, you weren't all that well.
Well, that's true. I had asthma.
She had asthma really
back
bad.
Then. They didn't know how to really deal with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember you going into the bathroom and burning your little...
My opium.
Oh!
A little teaspoon of opium in a dish, and I'd sit there and inhale the fumes from it, and that would clear me up.
I thought it was sulfur.
Explains a lot.
I'm so glad you said that.
Because I would stay overnight at their house, and before she went to bed at night, she'd have to go into the bathroom and burn her little pile of stuff, which I thought was sulfur. Now she tells me it's opium. And then she'd come back and she was able to sleep through the night. And in the winters, you didn't do a lot of stuff with us because you were homesick.
Yeah, that's true. I don't remember it that well, but...
Yeah.
I remember you being allergic to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
Oh, I was allergic to lots of stuff that I've grown. Peanuts now, my latest episode 2 years ago was...
So you're still allergic to them?
I was still allergic. That
cherry
was a...
Epica?
I have one.
Yeah.
I won't say I carry it.
She's allergic
one.
To bees. She carries two.
Yeah. Well, no, I have one. It's probably outdated by now.
Yeah.
But, the last episode I had was 2 years ago, and I was anaphylaxis in ICU for 3 days.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, and that's the worst it's ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
It never gets better, I guess.
But I've outgrown tomatoes and
shellfish.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of stuff you could come to our house with. We fed you.
Well, I've learned that in kids I've taken care of after I got married and taken care of kids. Allergic to this and allergic to that or whatever. I was a safe house.
You were.
Yeah. It makes a difference because if you have been allergic, you're more aware.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you have never been allergic to anything, then you don't think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't.
I used to say I was allergic to kids and work. Didn't
you
work.
You became a teacher.
I became a teacher.
Now you're working your butt off.
Yeah, you're right. Church? Methodist Church?
We belong to the Methodist Church. I used to sneak in over there and play the organ because I played the piano at home all the time. This was before I knew anything about playing. Mm-hmm. And Evelyn Dan, who was our choir teacher and the organist, caught me in there one time, playing away, and I was just having a blast, and I was playing my own composition.
Of course.
So she contacted Evelyn Scribner. I think it was Scribner. And asked her if she would, it was Louise, not Evelyn.
I don't know.
It was Louise Scribner.
Louise.
If she would take me on as a piano student.
Wonderful.
So from the time I was about 8 until I graduated from high school, she was my piano teacher, and I never played.